To see all of you. It's great to have a couple days to dry out. And I've had absolutely no Greek experience in preparation of this, but I've said it already. They'll let anybody do this. How about this? God will use anybody to do this. Is that better? A little bit. Yes, exactly. A donkey. Excellent. I just want to take a minute and point out we have a stone up here. Last week, Jen gave a word of just about placing a stone of remembrance, just to say, you know, he used in the scripture we see the Israelites as as God accomplished certain things within their journey, that they set up altars to remember by. And we just feel like all week long after Sunday morning and then Sunday night, and just felt like the Lord was saying in our spirit, we've crossed a threshold and there's no going back. We're pressing forward, and the Lord is doing some amazing things, and part of that is what he's doing tonight. So even if you missed the first one, come tonight and get on board. The Lord's doing some amazing things in our lives. We will have these online at some point. We're working towards getting that accomplished. So if you missed the first one, you can go back and see that. Let's pray and we'll get started. Holy Spirit, we love you. Thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Thank you for what you're doing in each one of our hearts. Thank you that, Lord, even when we're faithless, you remain faithful. Lord, you're going to finish the work that you started in us unto the day of Christ Jesus. Lord, you're purifying us, you're renewing us, you're strengthening us. Lord, you're empowering us, and you're amazing and wonderful, and we love you, and we're here asking you to do more in our hearts, to do more in every part of our lives, and we welcome you, Holy Spirit, here this morning, and we ask that you would once again do a mighty work in our midst through the preaching of your word. Lord, ready our hearts to respond to you, and Lord, we ask you for help because we need it. Open our eyes, enlighten our hearts. We ask that you would grant a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who you are this morning, and we ask, Holy Spirit, today that you would touch our hearts. Lord, let us feel what the Father feels towards us. Let us feel what Jesus feels towards us today, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going through a series right now on the Holy Spirit. We're in week two. And last week, we talked about the person of the Holy Spirit. And I likened it to when you meet someone, you automatically set up the context of who they are, where they what, you know, how they're related to you, and how they came into the situation and all that. So we understand that the Holy Spirit, we place him in his context. He's the third person of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And each person of the Trinity, it's not three gods. It's three persons who are one God. Each person is fully God. They all fully share the attributes of God, yet they are distinct in person. So God, the Holy Spirit, is fully God, yet distinct from God the Father and God the Son. But most importantly, the Holy Spirit is a person, which changes which sets the whole dynamic of this thing we call Christianity into the context of relationship. We relate to persons, and we understand that the Holy Spirit is not a vapor. He's not a force. He's not a feeling that we get. He's a person with a mind, with will, with emotions as well. And oftentimes, especially as men, when we meet someone and after having that context set up, the first question we ask is, what do you do for work? And today we're going to ask that same question. The title of today's message is The Work of the Holy Spirit. What does he do? What's going on? So the work of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says this. He's in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of John. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. It's the last night before the crucifixion. And he is weaving in through his teaching different aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit. But here's what Jesus says. I love how the New Living Translation says it. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the Advocate, or the Holy Spirit, won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. Why do we take time to look into these things? Jesus loved his disciples. Not only did he love them, but he really liked them. He really liked being around them. He enjoyed their company. And the disciples felt the same way about Jesus. They loved him. Things were just different when he was there. And they enjoyed his presence. They enjoyed his teaching. And they enjoyed all the wonderful things they were seeing because he was there. And now he's going away, and there's something of the disciples' emotion that they were feeling, like, oh no, he's leaving. What will we do? What will become of us? And Jesus' heartache for the disciples, because he really liked them, really loved them, really enjoyed their fellowship and watching them grow, and now he would be taken away. But Jesus says this, he says, it is for your best. It's the best thing for you. It's, other translations read, it is to your advantage that I go. I'm doing this. It hurts me. I know it hurts you, but it's the best thing for you. Isn't that what love is? That we deny ourselves sometimes, even when it hurts us, for the best thing for the other person. Jesus says, it is for your best. It is best for you that I go. Do you want what's best? Nobody dreams of good enough, right? I raised my kids without killing them. That's good enough. I had a career. I paid the bills. That's good enough. I got born again. I went to all the church services and gave a little money to charity. That's good enough. Jesus says there is the best for you in this. There is the best for you in that I go away and send the Holy Spirit. Why do we peer into these things? Why do we take time to study? Why do we ask the Holy Spirit for understanding and insight into these things? Because it's for our best. Because Jesus desires the best for his church. And so in our daily lives, as followers of Jesus, he wants us to experience his very best. Well, what is his best? Jesus says this in John chapter 14, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That word, another, it means one just like. Just like what or who? It's like Jesus. I'm going to send you another one just like me. He's going to help you. That word help, it's advocacy. It's one who comes alongside. He's going to help you. He's going to come alongside you just like I did. And we look and what this is saying is just, you know, Jesus, he led his disciples. He was setting the agenda. And just like Jesus set the agenda of where his disciples were going and what they would be doing, so the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus, will come alongside us, will dwell with us, will dwell in us, will help us and lead us where we're going. You know, Jesus took time to teach his disciples. There are times where they would come back from ministry and he said, come away, I want to teach you things. And he would teach them. And just like Jesus taught his disciples, now the Holy Spirit, another one just like Jesus, one will come alongside us, dwell in us, and dwell with us, and will teach us. This is our best. This is to our advantage. And just like Jesus, he brought them into place times of rest with himself. And another one, just like Jesus, would come alongside us, would dwell with us, would dwell in us, and give us rest. And the Holy Spirit, or Jesus, would send out his disciples to go and do ministry. He would empower them. But Jesus says, I'm going to the Father. This is for your best. This is to your advantage, because I'm going to send another one just like me who's going to come alongside you, dwell with you, dwell in you, and empower you just like I did. Why? This is for our best. This is to our advantage. I'm all for, as we look at even the context of the local church here, I'm all for learning to be better administrators and better leaders. And of course, to do any type of ministry requires funding, but these things are all secondary to our foundation, that disciples of Jesus are to be led, taught, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if we don't get that right, then all of our efforts in administration or leadership or funding, they're just efforts. Unless the Lord builds a house, its laborers labor in vain. So Jesus here, he sympathizes. He's joined us in our humanity. He sympathizes with us. He knows our weakness. And in light of just everyday life and the difficulties we have to walk through, let alone the suffering, persecution, tribulation that's going to come, the rejection that's going to come on the church, he realizes, listen, us in our own strength, us in our own willpower, in our own resolve, left to our own measure of love, we're not going to make it. But it's to our best. It's for our advantage that Jesus went to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit, another one just like him, a helper who would come alongside and dwell with us and dwell in us to lead us, teach us, and empower us. And then Jesus went on to say this, because this is his expectation on the church. Truly, this is in the same context, 14, 15, and 16, the same conversation. Truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Jesus' words, you don't have to know Greek. Jesus' words. straightforward. Context is his final night with his disciples. He's teaching them about when he goes and the Holy Spirit coming and the church, the disciples, his followers that are here on the earth will do the works that he's doing because the Holy Spirit is with them, dwells in them, has come alongside them, is helping them. And in fact, they will do greater works than Jesus did. This is for our best. This is to our advantage. I don't want good enough. I want what's best. I want Jesus promised. I want to take a moment just to explain some of the language that we use before we get into a little more depth on the work of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes people say, well, I already, you know, we have this phrasing, and the wording, I admit, sometimes is just weak, but we say, we want more of you, Holy Spirit, or we want more of the Holy Spirit, we want more of God. And the common answer to that sometimes is, well, I already got the Holy Spirit, so I've got all of God. And that's absolutely true. Probably a better way to express that is, Holy Spirit, we want more of your leadership. Holy Spirit, we want more of your power. Holy Spirit, we want more of your work in our lives in a greater and an ever-increasing way. Let me explain this to you with maybe like this picture. I've heard it said, people said, we are spirits. That's the essence of our being, of who we are. We have souls, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, and that we live in physical bodies. And so when we're born again, when we place our faith in Christ, Paul tells us that he who is in Christ is one in spirit with him. We receive a new spirit, a new nature, which is made after the image of Jesus. So that's been transformed. That's been renewed. That is united with Christ. You can't add or take away anything from that. That's been established. But then there's these things called the heart, the emotions. Then there's our will. Then there's our mind. We used to sing a song in the 90s, so lyrically powerful. Holiness, holiness, what I long for. Holiness, holiness is what I need. I sing, so take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours. And we understand that there's this work that was done in the Holy Spirit, in our spirit man, but then there's our soul, which is undergoing transformation, which is being renewed in the image of Jesus. It's our heart, it's our emotions, it's our will, it's our mind. It's all these things that are coming into agreement with who he is, with his word. And so we're asking for the Holy Spirit to do more, to bring our mind, our emotions, and our will into alignment with who he is and his will and his mind and his emotions, that we would feel the things that he feels, that we would think the way he thinks, that we would be submitted the way Jesus was submitted to the Father. This is the work that the Holy Spirit's doing in us. And when we ask him, Holy Spirit, do more, we're saying, enlarge your leadership in our lives. Enlarge your authority. Enlarge your power of transforming us and renewing us in our lives. So let's move forward. So what does the Holy Spirit do? The first thing is this. The Holy Spirit purifies. He purifies us at conversion, right? 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. We place our faith in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus. And the Spirit of God looks at the blood of Jesus and then washes us. John the Baptist said, I just wash you with water for repentance. I'm cleaning up your outside, but there's one who's coming after me who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. There's one coming after me who's going to clean you up on the inside. He's going to wash you. And when we place our faith in that atoning sacrifice of Jesus at the cross, there's an exchange that's made, and Jesus takes on our sin, but we receive by the Spirit the righteousness of Jesus. It's credited to our account as if it was ours. We become partakers of his divine nature, and he washes us and cleanses us, and we have justification, which is our right standing before God. And he has done and begun a work of sanctification in our life, which is this growth and this becoming more like Jesus. He's completely transformed us, renewed us, washed us, and continues to make us clean. In fact, it goes on from there. He doesn't stop. We continue to grow in the nature of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit of God. The way we get purified is we see more of Jesus. And some of these things that we're going to talk about today overlap. But one of the things that happens is we behold Jesus. We see him, and our hearts, our will, our emotion becomes completely enthralled with him and his glory to the extent that we say, I don't want anything less than that ever again. We fall more in love with him. We become more captivated by him. We become more enraptured and enthralled with who he is, with his glory, with his majesty, with his splendor. The Holy Spirit is the one who is revealing this to us, because it does something here first, and it purifies us. But not only that, one of the evidences of the Spirit dwelling within us is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As he's transformed our spirits, now it begins to transform our will, our emotions, our mind, and it plays itself out in our physical bodies, the words that we speak, the things that we think, and the actions that we take. He's doing this work of purifying us continually. And the more we surrender to this work in our lives, the more he fills us, and the more we overflow with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. So the Holy Spirit purifies. Second thing, the Holy Spirit reveals. Here's Jesus' words about the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will testify to you of me. That word testify, it means like to bear witness. I'm going to, like a witness would say, Jesus is like this. This is the person of Jesus that I know. He's going to testify to you of who I am. Just like we just read, he's going to reveal Jesus to us. Jesus says he will remind you of the things that I've said to you. There's sometimes moments where we're walking into a situation, and it's one of those things I feel completely underqualified for. I'm in over my head. Jesus, help me. What do I say to this person? How do I speak to the situation? And the scripture comes to mind, because the Holy Spirit is to reveal. The Holy Spirit works in means of revelation. Sometimes I found that I'm sitting in a meeting sometimes, and there's somebody speaking. Doesn't matter who it is, but they'll say something, and all of a sudden I'll hit just Holy Spirit revelation. And I start like thumbing through my Bible, because I'm just connecting all these points at once. It's like this is a crazy little download that's just coming at me, and I'm just writing all these things out. And Jenna elbowed me. She says, you're supposed to be paying attention. I'm like, I am, right? Because the Holy Spirit works in revelation. He reminds us of the things that Jesus said. Jesus said he'll testify of me, and he will lead you into all truth. John tells us, he says, you have no need of teachers, because you have an anointing within you. You have the Spirit of truth residing in you. You have the fullness of the Godhead in the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. This is for your best. This is to your advantage. This is the one who comes alongside you and helps you. This is the one who dwells with you and in you. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so this is why Paul prays that we would be given a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who God is. Because this isn't just simply a theological textbook. This requires spiritual sight. It requires spiritual ears. And when the Holy Spirit brings revelation, he fills us with the knowledge of the Holy One. And it changes us. Paul says, I want you to know that you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who he is. That you would know the hope of your calling. That you would know the glorious upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That you would have that type of vision for your life. Where he's taking you. And what he wants to do in you and through you. He's releasing revelation. He said, I want you to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know the glorious riches of the Father's inheritance in his saints. When the Spirit ministers in revelation, you begin to appreciate one another and love one another more, because you see that person next to you or in front of you is part of his inheritance. It's like, that's what I died to get. And that you might know the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. That power which is like the mighty working of his strength when he raised Christ from the dead. This revelation that the Holy Spirit ministers to us. It not only that we get a head knowledge of it, but we actually begin to walk and experience and move in the knowledge of this resurrection power in our lives. This is for our best. This is to our advantage. This is how he helps us and comes alongside us. This is what he does when he dwells with us and in us. Paul prays in Colossians, he said, I pray that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives you. so that you might walk in a manner worthy of him and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, and being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. This is what the Holy Spirit reveals, and this is what it does in us. This is how it helps us. This is why it's for our best. See, Jesus, he was limited into time and space and being in the flesh. And so you and I, it's great that we get together here for an hour or two, but then we go home. And how much do we really connect? But when the Holy Spirit comes, he's with us everywhere we go. And he, this idea of him walking with us in every part of our day, I don't know if we really get this. I was in India a number of years ago, and we were going around to different villages, and we went into one, and I said, oh, I got to run back to the place we're staying in the village. So I walk in, and we were staying with these other Indian brothers from the ministry, and I walked into the middle of a prayer meeting. They were all praying in Telugu, and I had no idea what they were saying, so I just began to pray in the Spirit, read Scripture, and I'm just going to enter in and join with them. And next thing I know, the prayer meeting was over. I'm just sort of looking around, but it was their time for their siesta, their afternoon nap, and so they just sort of rolled out this mat on the floor. There's about 8 or 10 of them, and they just all lined up, like right down to take their nap, and so I felt a little awkward, so I just excused myself and walked out. But think about Jesus, right? Like sometimes we'll travel together to different conferences and stuff, but in this traveling, we see each other's highs and lows, we see each other sleepy, we see each other awake, we have these goofy memories together, right? But there's something, there's a closeness, there's an intimacy, there's a fellowship that happens when we walk together. And Jesus and his disciples, it probably looked much like that, to where if they didn't just stay in a hotel and they all got separate rooms, they probably all stayed in one room on a mat, just lined up across the floor with each other. But they were that intimate. And Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, it's going to be just like this. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to empower you. It's going to help you. He's going to come alongside you. He's going to dwell with you and in you. This is for your best. This is to our advantage. It's a little bit long, but we'll read this together from 1 Corinthians. The Holy Spirit reveals, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a spirit's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Thoughts of God, the mind of God. Right? The Holy Spirit is revealing these things. What are his purposes? You know, he has a plan this morning. He has things he wants to accomplish in this gathering. You know that he has a plan for tomorrow when you go to class. Do you know he has a plan tomorrow when you go to work? Do you know he has a plan when you go home this afternoon and have lunch? Do you know he has a plan? His purposes, and he's walking with us and in us. He's coming alongside us to help us. This is for our best. This is for our advantage. What is your mind, Father? What is your will? What is your purpose in this situation? What are you wanting to accomplish? I've been reading a number of works by Eugene Peterson lately, and it just takes a lot of the pressure off of us, because we think we come into a situation, somebody needs our help, and we think we got to get in there and fix it. Eugene Peterson says, do you know that God's been at work in this person since before you were even born? He's not looking for you to jump in and fix it. He's looking for you to come in alongside of what he's already been doing. Well, that really just takes a lot of that heaviness off. God, what are you doing? I can speak those words. As we learned last week, the Holy Spirit hears from the Father and speaks those things. What are you wanting to accomplish in this person's life? Because you're leading me, you're walking with me, you're helping me, you're dwelling in me, you're dwelling with me to serve your purposes. That changes everything. The Holy Spirit reveals. Third, the Holy Spirit unifies. We look at the early church, and it says that they shared everything that they had in common. This wasn't a church growth plan. This wasn't some sort of new ministry that they came up with. They were born and filled with the Holy Spirit, and the overflow of their heart is, you have something, you need something, and I have something that can meet that need. Here you go. That was the fruit. That was the overflow of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, is that it unites us. We're not united here because we're all of the same age or the same demographic or whatever. We're united here by our love for one another. And so we're striving in such a divided age in our country to find unity, and yet it is the Spirit of God on the people of God that's supposed to be on display. Say, this is the path. This is how it's done. I don't know if we ever truly grasped the big deal it was for Peter by the Spirit of God to be led to the house of a Gentile to bring the good news to them, because it is the Spirit who unifies us. In Joel chapter 2 at Pentecost, Peter preached from this. And what does he say? The Spirit of God will be poured on all flesh, old and young, slave and free, male and female. Every status, every station in life, the Holy Spirit is being poured out on. And there's unity in that. Not because you're a worker or an owner or a whatever. It's through the Spirit. And more so than that, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, the love of God is being poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We're not united because we all carry the same theological stance or we all meet in the same place. We're united by the Holy Spirit in ministering the Father's love unto one another. That's why Jesus said, he says, as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you, and now here's my command, love one another. Which, I like you guys a lot. My love is so fickle sometimes. You're probably much better than I am, but man, I love that guy. Ah, I mean, I'll just like, that's me in my flesh. The love of the Father, the love of the Son, the love which we've received, laid down his life for a Judas. Lay down his life for a Peter. Lay down his life for all his disciples who fled and ran away from him. So sometimes we get caught up in our hurts, our wounds, and we forget that the Holy Spirit is with us and in us, helping us, coming alongside us, leading us, teaching us, empowering to love like Jesus loved. I want people to feel welcome here. I want us to show newcomers hospitality. At the same time, I want people coming in here to feel really uncomfortable, because there's something holy going on as we love one another. This is the work of the Spirit. It's not something we can just sort of get ourselves worked up for. All right, we're going to get serious and unified and love one another. Doesn't work, doesn't last. But the Holy Spirit pouring the love of the Father into us changes everything. The Holy Spirit purifies, he reveals, he unifies. Finally, the Holy Spirit empowers. We shared this last week. We saw it at creation. We saw the will of God, speaking the word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God. God said, let there be light, and the Holy Spirit accomplished it. Even in the birth of Jesus, you have the will of God sending forth the word of God. And the angel told Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. What's conceived in you is by the Holy Spirit. And it's the same thing with us being a new creation, that we were born of the will of God. We were born of the word of God. We've been born of the Spirit of God. And it's this power at work within us, transforming us, making us new. When you were born again, it was a miracle, because you got changed. And even as we look at Jesus' ministry, when he was baptized, the Spirit of God came on him like a dove, and it remained on him. Luke tells us that the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Mark says the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And when he came out of the wilderness, he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he went to a synagogue and read from the prophet Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor, give sight to the blind, proclaim liberty to the captives, and declare the favorable year of the Lord. Everything that Jesus did from that point on was in the power of the Holy Spirit. And here we are, given one just like Jesus, who helps us, who comes alongside us, who dwells with us and in us. And the church of Jesus Christ is to do the exact same things that the body of Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago. The works that he did, and even greater works than these. In our evangelism, we need the Holy Spirit to empower us. In our prayer life, we need the Holy Spirit to empower us. In everything that we do, even the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we need them. These are ways he manifests his presence in our midst. These are the reasons why an unbeliever would come in and say, surely God is in this place, because his power is at work through his church in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is the one he gave away. He said, it's for your best that I go. It's to your advantage. This is what you have in me. The Holy Spirit isn't some sort of theological idea that we just sort of talk about once a year and then sort of set aside and get back to just doing stuff. But this is somebody who dwells with us and helps us, comes alongside us, empowers us, unites us, reveals the Father, and purifies us. We want more. We want more of the Holy Spirit purifying us. Holy Spirit, do more. We desire an ever-increasing measure of righteousness to be on your people. Holy Spirit, do more. Holy Spirit, we want to see more. Holy Spirit, we want to know more. Holy Spirit, we don't understand. Holy Spirit, we're blind and deaf and dull of understanding. But would you come and visit us with revelation? Would you fill us with the knowledge of the Holy One? Holy Spirit, we want more. The Holy Spirit unites us. Holy Spirit, make us one just like Jesus is one with the Father and the Father is one with Jesus. Would you bring that measure of unity to your church? Because it's impossible without you. It won't happen. Holy Spirit, visit your people with power. Do you know the apostles pray the same thing? The apostles, they were there. They were doing it. Peter preaches, 3,000 get saved. People are taking handkerchiefs from the apostles and just passing them over. Shadows of the apostles are falling on sick people and they're getting healed. And the apostles say, Holy Spirit, do more. Stretch out your hand and accompany us with signs, wonders, and miracles. Grant us boldness as we proclaim the name of your servant Jesus. Holy Spirit, do more. We want more. This isn't something mystical. I was sharing this with somebody last week. I'm like, the more I get into this, the more I'm just confused. I'm like, what have we been fighting about for hundreds of years as a church? We're so scared of the Holy Spirit who wants to purify his bride. We can pray, we can preach, right? Like some sort of man-powered righteousness, but it just leads to pride and we fall again. Or we can have the purity, the righteousness of Christ worked in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he loves it. We use the language. I'm not sure if this, I'm not going to say bad words. I'm just saying my language is limited sometimes, right? But sometimes we bow at the altar of education. TFC students, you're getting a great education. Apply yourselves with all diligence. Understand this, a child moving in revelation moves in greater faith than all the teaching of theology or whatever that we can gather. There are lots of theologians who do not know him. Holy Spirit, do more. We need you. So the Holy Spirit is the one who does this work, but we have a role of cooperation in this. You know, when it comes to an issue of purity in our lives, or him addressing sin, is our partnership in that. He's going to do the purifying, but it's our place to confess and to repent. And so if there's a highlighting of the Spirit on an issue in your life of sin, I want to encourage you to find a trusted brother or sister, respectively, and confess. Because we hide it out of fear, but when we expose it, that fear is broken. And the enemy no longer has control over that. But then we repent and we invite the Holy Spirit come and do his work of purifying us. That doesn't mean that sometimes I've heard great stories of people just being delivered in an instant, and that's awesome. But sometimes he begins to lead us. He begins to teach us. He begins to empower us. For certain temptations or sin in my life, it's been a progress to where, you know, Romans 13:14 says, make no provision for the flesh. Bing, oh my goodness. What have I been opening the door for temptation? I'm thinking I'm over here just a victim, yet I'm just keep opening the door to this thing every time. Take every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God captive to the obedience of Christ. Bing, oh my goodness. Like, I don't actually have to sit there and dwell on that. I can actually take authority over it. The Holy Spirit is leading, teaching, growing. He's walking alongside me. He's helping me. He's coming alongside. He's dwelling with me and in me, working purity in my life. It was a great picture I received just this past year from the Lord. But in the adoption realm, some of these children, they have no capacity because of trauma to be able to just sort of regulate what they're dealing with. And so they'll just go full tilt all day long, never having a drink. Their blood sugar drops, right? They're emotionally just all over the place, and then they just fall apart. And so as parents, we have to be engaged. Come here, give me a hug, have a drink of water. Come here, give me a hug, have a snack. I just realized in my own walk, I get caught up sometimes in just having this meltdown, falling into sin or temptation and all this. And I said, Lord, teach me to drink. Teach me to come to you first before I even get, feed me. The Holy Spirit, when we ask him to say, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. I repent. I confess it. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to this area. He begins to lead us. He begins to teach us. He begins to empower us. He brings revelation. He brings the light of his word and his glory to us. And we see more of who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit brings revelation. Again, we trust in our own understanding so much more than we trust in the revelation of the word by the Spirit. Theology informs, but revelation transforms. Holy Spirit, even as we're here tomorrow, this is why we pray this every Sunday morning. Open the eyes of our understanding. Let us see you. Help me. Pray for unity. Psalm 133 says how good, how pleasing it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. There the Lord commands a blessing. Like the Lord commands it. You can't even resist it because the Lord just already commanded it. And scripture tells us it's like oil. It's like an anointed priest and oil just running down the head and the beard and the clothing. The oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit and an anointed priest just saturated in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's all around, revolves around brothers dwelling together in unity. That's why Jesus said, if you're coming to bring an altar and your brother has something against you, you deal with that first. And then we have fellowship. And so maybe there's an issue, there's a relationship that the Holy Spirit right now is highlighting. It's because he wants to command a blessing over your life. And he's calling you into unity. And when we choose forgiveness, when we choose peace, when we choose reconciliation, we invite the Holy Spirit to drench us, to saturate us with his anointing presence and power. Let's have the worship team come forward. Maybe there's areas where you realize I've been okay with just running the machine. But really not. I even this past week, the Lord just highlighted just these, there's just this voice, this lie that just permeates, just comes into my thoughts like the Holy Spirit show up. No matter all the stuff that I do, he might not show up. But I realize it's an issue of faith on my part. The voice of doubt that I listen to, I don't trust him, but he wants to reveal himself. He wants to release power. He wants to purify. He wants a heart that's singular in devotion and love and longing him. This is what he wants to do. And so why do we confess and repent, Lord, I've doubted not even really your power, but your goodness. I've doubted your love.